Welcome to Comedians with Ghost Stories. I'm your host, writer, and comedian Emily Winter. If you've been enjoying this podcast, one thing that you could do to help it out is to rate and review it. Throw it some kind words, and that will help raise it up and make it more visible to other people, and I really appreciate that. Also, if you're in the Pittsburgh area, I will be in town on Friday, June 23rd, and Saturday, June 24th. June 23rd, I'm going to be doing Don't Tell Comedy. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to tell that, but Don't Tell Comedy, it's a pretty cool hidden show. You can get tickets online by Googling Don't Tell Comedy. I'll be on the show. I'm not even going to tell you who else is, because I think it's supposed to be a secret. And then June 24th, not a secret, the show that I take around the country featuring 64 local comedians called One-Liner Madness. It's a single elimination joke tournament. Super fun. My favorite thing to do in comedy. That's going to be Saturday, June 24th at Spirit in Lawrenceville. The tickets are on Eventbrite. And I'll also put them in the show notes. Also, in the show notes, there's photographic evidence of this ghost that I have not received from Kara, who I interviewed. I will add that to the show notes as soon as I get it. And this is an awesome episode, and I hope you enjoy it. Okay, have a great day. Goodbye. Today on the podcast, I'm very excited to have actress, Reiki master, massage therapist, Kara Emanuele. Kara, thank you for joining the pod.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. It's exciting.
I am excited that I finally got your intro out of my mouth. I was struggling saying
it's a lot. It's master. A lot in there. Mm-hmm. I got a lot going on with me.
I really admire actors. I just did an audition and I'm not an actor. I'm a writer on a show. And so they were like, oh, you might be good for this. You're fun at the table read. Whenever we need you in the room to read. And it was so hard. And there was something, it was like cheesy radish peach casserole. And I just couldn't. And I like had a nervous breakdown in my audition. Yeah, it was, yeah.
So anyway. You got the cold sweats. You felt the heat coming through your face and you just were like, frozen, right? Yeah.
That's good. Zoom auditions. It's the only kind I've ever, I just did this because I don't do auditions. It was so scary and hard.
Mm-hmm. You said the Zoom audition. You did a Zoom audition?
It was a Zoom audition, but it was live. So yeah. Yes.
Those are hard. I've done those and they're always hard because you don't know where to look. You're not in the same room. There's always a time lag. Like it's always just like off. I always feel they're just off.
That makes me feel really good. I mean, apparently they were like, okay, this person does not know how to act, which is, yeah, I don't. But they were like, yeah, use the space. I was like, I don't know what you mean. I'm in a box and you're in a box and I don't know what to do. Anyway, so let's get to
your
story.
I'm sure you're amazing. I'm sure you are really great.
Okay. So tell me, I'm so excited. Where are you podcasting from?
On North Hollywood.
Oh my gosh. We're so close. I'm in Sherman Oaks.
Oh, perfect. I love the Valley. I love the Shokes. I've been the Shokes, Studio City, North Hollywood. I've been everywhere over here.
I love it too. I'm only like a year into living in LA and everyone's like, oh my God, you shouldn't live in the Valley because it's not cool. But my thing is that LA is not cool. LA is not cool. So like, should I pay for a shoebox in Los Feliz or should I live in the Valley and have space?
I agree. And you get more space. There are great restaurants. There's great nightlife. There's space.
Yeah.
There's parking spots. You know, right. It's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah. So I'm a convert for sure. Great. Awesome. So does your ghost story happen in the Valley?
No, my ghost story takes place in Cripple Creek, Colorado.
Oh, where is that?
So that's like an hour outside of Colorado Springs. When I was in college, during the summers, I would do summer stock theater in this little tiny town called Cripple Creek, Colorado. We do melodrama. So it'd be like this over the top, you know, the hero, the villain kind of people, you know, get into the crowd like, well, like ooh and ah, or like, you know, boo and hiss at the villain. It's kind of like really, you know, interactive theater.
That's so fun. Yeah.
So I did that for 3 years, but that city is well known to be very, very haunted. It is burnt down twice.
Oh my God.
It is a mining town and there is not one stoplight in that town.
Oh my God. I am so like curious about these towns that have these cool theater things going on, but they don't have any residents. So who? People just drive, like make it a destination thing or what?
Yeah. I mean, it's a gambling town. So it's also a gambling town. So there's lots of gambling. And for some reason, the melodrama has been going on for 50, 60 years. So it's like a really well-known thing in Colorado. So, you know, I would do 8 shows a week and most of the time they were packed. It was great. You know, I was a huge celebrity there because there was nobody there, but I felt so cool.
But isn't it the
But
best? Like, you don't want to
oh,
be
it's so
famous in
cool.
LA. You want to be
No.
famous in the in like one small town where you can go
I
and
want to
feel good about
be
yourself.
exactly. I want to be like the biggest fish in this puddle. You know, I wanted to be
Yes.
so it was so famous.
Yeah. No, I think it's better that way. It's like more fun because then you could just go be anonymous in big cities and then yeah.
Right. I get to go
Anyway.
shopping. I don't have the paps follow me around, you know. But yeah, so they house the actors in the Actors House, which is a house that was built, you know, 100 years ago. And so we all every summer would stay in this old house. And I have a couple instances with one ghost in this house. And I
Oh my
actually have
gosh.
photographic evidence, so I
I'm
can
so excited.
show you
Okay.
what that's about. So I guess I can start where I should start with the, how the photograph happened and then that what happened after that. So basically, it was in the kitchen. We were in the kitchen, me and the other castmates, and they were being really funny and weird. And I was like, okay, let me take a picture with my old Nokia, like very old Nokia phone back when they were like the rage.
Yeah.
And I snapped a photo of him, and he was doing this really cool pose and like being really voguey. And I was like, this is perfect for my phone. Let me just take this awesome picture. And I look at the phone, and there is a face. There is a distinctive face like making fun of him. Like you can see it. And I looked at it and I screamed bloody murder and threw the phone away. I kid you not, everybody looked at that picture and we all got chills and we were not feeling like we all felt like there was something in the room because where this ghost was, there was a wall. So there was
Oh
no
my
way
God.
that someone could have been hiding there or was a weird refraction of the photo. But I will say that this ghost played pranks on all of us, especially me.
Oh
There
my
was this
God.
one room that we would sleep in. That since every summer you'd come back, you get to choose your room if you were like a returning person. So you'd get the big, you'd want the master room. I was like, oh, second year, I'm gonna take the master. It's nice and big. Really not that big, but you know, it
Yeah.
had a full size bed instead of a single.
Right,
And
comparatively. Yeah.
right. And so one afternoon in the bra in like between shows, I took a quick nap with the door open. The light was shining. It wasn't creepy. It wasn't late at night. And I was laying on my side like a little angel. And then all of a sudden, have you ever had sleep paralysis?
Yes, yeah.
But this was like extreme paralysis where I felt my body literally lift up perpendicular to the bed. Like I felt myself turning up
Oh my
and
God.
I started panicking. I was like, with help, I was like praying to whatever was out there. I was like, listen, oh my God, what's happening to me? Why am I being lifted out of my body? I
Yeah.
literally, and I was completely conscious because I could hear my roommates in their rooms talking and hanging out. And I was stuck like
And your body was
between
moving and you couldn't do anything about it.
my body would not move. And I felt like I was trapped in the soul. Like my soul had come out of my
Oh.
body a little bit. I
So
think it was
wait,
like,
so your body was still laying down, but you felt yourself lifting?
yes.
That's terrifying.
And I was so scared. And this, I couldn't call for help because but I could hear my roommates. And then so I'm freaking out. And I was like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm praying to whatever I could pray for. And then I heard this voice, a man's voice. And it was as if he was circling my head and he was saying, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, like very specifically and repeated that a lot. So whatever I did, I was like, okay, hold on. And I'll just like, I let go of my anxiety. And then all of a sudden I felt myself lay right back down, like someone was gently putting me back down.
Oh my God.
And then I woke up and I screamed and I ran out of the room and I was like, I'm never sleeping in this room again. I'm never sleeping in this room again. And I told everybody, yes, I think it's the guy, I think it is
The guy from the
the
picture.
ghost. Because the next summer I'm like, I'm not sleeping in that bed. And one of my friends, one of the castmates was sleeping in there. And like one night, she said she saw a figure at the end of her bed telling her to turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around. Again with the repeating, again with the male voice. saying to turn around.
What does this guy want?
So there is a whole thing with, we think it's the owner of the house. He was the owner of the Cripple Creek Players, which was the theater group.
Okay.
And they were big pranksters. At the end of each season, they do a prank show where no one did their lines. They all did jokes on each other and everyone came. It was like the biggest celebration of the city. We'd go and people watch people make fun of each other. But we took, when I show you this picture, I was able to like look at old newspaper articles of who owned that house.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks exactly like the guy who owned the house.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. I love it. What's his name?
His name is Wayne Macken.
Oh, my God. So, yeah.
I think it was him. I mean, he's a prankster. That's their whole thing. That was mm-hmm. Melodrama's all fun and games and jokes. And he didn't want to hurt us. It just was freaky because it happened to two of us in that one room.
Did your friend turn around when he told her to?
No, she said, go away. I'm trying to sleep. She wasn't afraid either. She wasn't afraid. Like that he calmed her down. Like he calmed me down. He like told me to be okay.
Why do you think he like lifted you out of your body as a prank? And then when he sensed that you were freaking out, that's when
So I don't know because I'm pretty sensitive to energies and I don't know if it was him just helping me go back out. Like maybe because in that room, have you ever astroplaned or felt like you've astroplaned?
No.
That is something that's like the beginning of sleep paralysis.
Okay.
You get sleep paralysis. And then if you keep going, if you let it go, you will come out of your body. That happened to me all the time there. When I slept on my back in that room, I would get sleep paralysis all the time.
I was just going to say, it was weird that you were on your side because sleep paralysis usually happens to people when they're on their back. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I was like, I never sleep on my back. I hate it. So I always slept on my side because I didn't want to have sleep paralysis.
Right.
But I think he saw me like leaving my body and feeling less connected. Maybe he helped me calm me down or maybe he was joking with me. I don't know, but he definitely was there and he definitely was nice.
He seems to be like a nice spirit, but also like any spirit when you're not expecting it is going to freak you out. Totally.
Yes. Yes. And all that city was so incredibly haunted. Like the whole city was haunted. So it was normal to have a ghost experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you told people, they just believed you.
Yeah, most of the time. I mean, and then the photographic evidence, people were like trying to debunk it and they couldn't because it was first of all an old crappy phone. And you'd be like, oh, well, this must be the phone glitch. But I'm like, how could it be so detailed in this tiny Nokia that it'd be such a weird glitch?
Right, right, right. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to see it. That's awesome. So you and your friend, and then you have three different times you experience this guy. Holy cow.
And also in that house, I would see shadows walk back from room to room sometimes.
Oh, really?
And I would be like, and so the third summer I went back, I was not taking the master room. I took the tiniest room with the tiniest bed because that energy of that room felt safe to me. So that's where I'm going to stay. And I felt safe in my little tiny room. But I could see in that room, I could see ghosts moving in and out. And also the room next to me that I didn't ever stay in, they had flames go in, off and on.
Oh my gosh.
Like candles going off.
So were the other people just as like, your one friend did not seem to be that scared. Were the other people mm-hmm. terrified or were they like, this is just part of working in a haunted town?
I think it was kind of like, it's a part of it. They tried to do a Ouija. So they did a Ouija session one night and I was like, I'm having nothing to do with this. I am having nothing. So late at night, I'm walking in this town by myself and I decided to prank call the house. And I did it at the right time when they were asking for a sign and they freaked the fuck out. I don't think I ever told them that I called them.
That is so funny. I love that. I love that. But, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So did you know that you were like really in tuned spiritually at this when you were there? Like, did you already know that about yourself?
I wasn't sure. I know that when I was little, like when I lived in Minnesota, I was like 5 or 6. And I remember in my closet, I heard my name being sung like a chorus. And I'd be like, oh, and I wasn't ever scared. I just remember being like, that's a thing that happens. Like, it wasn't scary to me. So I think I've always had some sort of connection because when I do Reiki, I really connect to the other side. Like I get messages and I talk to people. I don't talk, but like I get images of things that my client would only understand.
Right.
Very, very detailed stuff. So yeah.
I definitely want to talk more about that as a person who's had Reiki a couple times. And I'm so interested in it. Do we want to talk about the Reiki now, or do you want to talk about and also when you're talking, just to go back to your story for a second, when you're talking about being astral projection, mm-hmm. is that something that you also do and control and like feel connected to, or is that something that you don't want and you don't? Yeah.
I don't really want to. I've tried twice, and every time I do, if you've ever like researched it or tried to like learn the steps in my ear, there'd always be a rip. So it sounded like a Velcro leaving.
Oh my gosh. That's terrifying.
And that's like the first sign that you're actually leaving your body. That happened to me twice. And then I freaked out and I was like, I can't do this. So I like tried to come back. And,
what did you experience? So you went back right after you heard that sound.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, oh, I'm leaving my body. And that happened two times, the exact sound, same sound.
Yeah. And you were like, that's enough.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Right now.
Is sleep paralysis part of astral projecting or no?
You know, I don't, there's really no scientific, because some people just think you wake up before your body does. And that's just mm-hmm. a whole thing. Like it's a biological thing that happens in your brain. And some people think you actually are kind of leaving your body and coming back. Like I don't know if there's any scientific proof of astral projection, but there is so much written about it. And there are books and books on how to do it. Mm-hmm. So there is some fact to that. I mean, I wonder if there's, maybe there is like a weird thing that happens to your brain sometimes. You're overtired and your mind wakes up before your body because your body puts out that hormone to make you not move and act out your dreams is essentially what happens. So I don't know. It could be both.
Fascinating. Okay. I want to know more about how you got into Reiki. And I guess since I've had it done a couple times, and it's so funny, I remember moving from the Midwest to New York. And then I was like, my parents were like, what are you doing out there? And I was like, well, today I paid a woman $100 to not touch me. Like hover my parents were like, you're losing it. But anyway, what is the experience on your end? Because both times that I've done it, I just really wanted to know, like, what one woman made me a chart of my body. And she was like, I pulled a dagger out of your heart. And I was like, oh, thank you. But yeah, it's like, what are you guys experiencing?
So what got me into Reiki was an acupuncture session. Have you ever had acupuncture done?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
So they stick you with the needles and they let you sit for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I ever had it done, they were like, okay, have a good rest. I'm going to shut the door and you're just going to rest it out. Literally, as soon as she closed the door, all I could see, and it sounds crazy, were like orbs of color coming from my forehead and flooding the ceiling. Whoa. So I was like, at first of all, I was like, is there some sort of light show going on? So I like tried to lift myself up to see if she had one of those like light, disco ball things. And I was like, okay, that's not happening. And I was like, oh my God, she laced these needles with something. Oh my God, I'm tripping balls.
Oh my
and then I saw my grandmother, which was like, holy shit. And then I started crying. And because my grandmother had passed at that point. And then she comes back and I'm like, dude, what did you do? I told you I don't like to do drugs. And she's like, oh, you're watching, you are sensitive to energy. You can see energy. You are watching your aura kind of cleaning itself. You should get into energy healing because you're very sensitive to it. You can see it. I was like, okay. Meanwhile, I was, in a girl group trying to figure out my life out in my 20s. I was like, okay, whatever.
Oh my God. I love you. Were in a girl group?
Yeah.
Say more. What was it called?
Oh no, you'll never find us.
I'll never find you.
You'll never find me.
It wasn't Dream, right? That was my favorite.
Oh my God, Dream. I loved Dream. No.
I loved Dream. Okay.
So then a couple years later, I decided to do it and I got into it. And so when I do Reiki, it's kind of evolved because you have to do three levels. I'm a Reiki master, so I can teach it if I want to. But each session is different for people. Like most of the time I feel like energy around them. I call it like a massage for the soul
mm-hmm.
for people. I don't touch them.
Right.
But I do tune into memories. I tune into emotions. I tune into whatever my client needs at the time for their highest and greatest good. So if they're some, I've had people literally leave a session and go break up with their boyfriend and move away. Literally get the clarity they needed, do what they are already wanting to do, but giving that like extra, yes, I kind of clean the chakras a little bit, kind of realign them because we tend to like hold trauma in certain chakras that affect our lives. And it just helps ground people and kind of bring them back to themselves because we get so, you know, in our heads all the time. But
Does,
yeah.
absolutely. Does it freak you out to be like flooded with people's auras or energy or memories?
I do put a protection around myself. So like I don't feel scared. Like I've seen some like scary shit that
Really?
I like real like people in the corner that are like dark energy that is not good. I've seen it, but I'm always protected. I always have a thing around me.
Does that energy come with the person, or like where does it come
It's
from?
whatever they're experiencing. So sometimes I will if and I and there's I don't believe in like bad. I don't believe in like the demons. I believe that because I actually don't like that idea. There's no such thing as bad energy. There's just lower vibrations. So and those are like the prankster spirits I call that you'll see or like I don't know. But I have like connected with I had a client that I went to her house like a couple times. I don't do traveling Reiki anymore because it was too much for me, but I had a client that I went to her house twice. And the first time I was like, I kept hearing this older woman who was like talking to me in a different language I didn't understand. And she was like yelling at me. And I was like, what is going on? And I asked her, she's like, I have no idea who that is. Next appointment, same thing, but it was like louder. And she was yelling at me. And she goes, oh, that's so funny. I forgot. I live in the apartment. The person that lived in my apartment before was my landlord's mother who didn't speak English and she passed away. And she's always turning my water on and off.
My
This
God.
ghost. So it's like, oh, I was talking to her. She was coming through. I
Right.
had no idea who it was, but she was talking to me in some language I never understood.
Oh
But
my gosh.
maybe
Wow.
it was validation for her that whatever's happening is just the landlord's mom. I don't know. It kept coming through for me. So
Is there ever anybody that feels like they're trying, like, oh, I've hired you, so clearly part of me wants you to do this, but that feels blocked off.
I can tell when someone really is open and when they're not, or when I do distance healing, which is a thing you can do when they're awake or when they're asleep, or when I'm with somebody and they're having anxious thoughts. I can feel when they're not in it, or they're like upset, or they're like doubting or not thinking. Yeah, like I can tell when they're like that, and I try to tune into that. And tried to help them kind of come down. But there are times when I just can't get in. But every time I do it, it's for the better for my client. But it's however you want to open it. Like there are some people who have a really big third eye that are like, whoa, they can really see things. They can really see things and hear things. So
Like they can hear messages from you.
It's clearer. It's clearer for me to talk to them because they're not putting out like a wall.
Yes, absolutely. Oh
Yeah.
my gosh. This
Like
is so fascinating. I
I
love
had a
it.
really cool client that she's great. And I don't know if I told the story before, but she I don't know if I should tell the story. It's kind of I mean, you don't know who this person is.
I mean, it's up to totally up to you, but absolutely,
I'll
like
just say
they can be anonymous.
I've had people come to me that have offed themselves and I didn't know that until I would see them in the room, in a different room, a black soul, and feel like my neck tightening. And then they would tell me somebody had passed that had hung themselves, and they were in the and I could tell they were in the other room because they were a dark soul because they had killed themselves, and it was by hanging. And at that same time, I had felt
Stuff on your
my
neck.
neck, when I was around her neck chakra, my neck started burning.
Oh.
But I didn't know this until after the session. I was like, so I don't know what this was. And she's like, and then she started crying. He's like, oh yeah, that this person,
That's like
so it was,
beautiful and sad and I don't
well,
know.
I knew that it also was in the other room because it had not, he, she had not forgiven him for killing himself. and he was there to let her know that he was still there, but knew that he had to keep his distance because she hasn't completely forgiven him.
Do you feel like in a case like that, where there's like a spiritual entity there, that man, is he living in real time? Like, is he, what do you think that a ghost like that is, you know?
I don't know if it's a ghost. I guess it's a spirit connected to her, or who, my client or whoever mm-hmm. needs to hear. Mm-hmm. People come. Yeah. That I don't know. Ghost is such an interesting word, because a lot of times ghosts could be an imprint of an energy that keeps happening and happening. It was like a really traumatic event and, occurrence, so people keep seeing a ghost around the same area because it was a very traumatic experience, and it's just like playing a record over and over again mm-hmm. rather than an actual spirit. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, it's hard to define what ghost is compared to like a spirit compared to my Reiki sessions. There's so much unknown.
Since you do this for a living, does that bother you that there's stuff that you don't know, or do you feel like you have what you need?
I guess it's all scary. Not scary, but comforting. That's the right word. It's more comforting, and it's not scary. It validates that there is more, that we are just at a different vibration that we just cannot touch. Like, everything seems just a little bit out there, or we're just living on a different plane.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's what's hard. It's like a ghost or a spirit or a entity or a part of you, or are you making things move because you have telekinesis? I don't know. Like, there's some weird stuff that just none of us can ever explain, I don't think.
Right. Oh, it's fascinating. Do you feel any differently now than you did then when you were in Colorado about the ghosts in that house?
That's a good question. I think I have more understanding, and I think I feel like it was all in fun rather than to scare us.
Yeah. And do you feel like if you experience that again, like, surprise, there's a ghost in this house or something?
Yeah, I still would rather have a room with no ghosts.
Yeah.
Because, sometimes I don't know what I'm into. So, I mean, I make sure to put the protection around myself wherever I go, because I just sometimes I don't want to see it. I don't want to identify. I don't want to get to that vibration. And sometimes when you're so scared, people can kind of make that happen. And like, if you believe in vibrations, like, spirits could be higher mm-hmm. vibration, we are lower vibration. Like, there's mm-hmm. just a whole spectrum of vibrations that that's why some people can see, some people can't see ghosts. So it's all.
Do you think that people like me that have no abilities to do anything, are we just vibrating at a lower frequency? Or are we just like, it's like we can still vibrate at a high frequency. We just don't have the ability to like see.
No, you could. I think everybody
does.
It's a muscle. It's like any muscle. If you don't you're not going to do it.
How for me and all the listeners that are like, I need spirituality 101 or something. How do you start channeling, being able to be in touch with your aura in a way that maybe you can see it, or you can really feel it, or you like undeniably?
I think would be great is that like you get in a meditative state or meditate. I don't know do you meditate?
I don't.
Yeah, it's quieting the mind.
Yeah, and like, I have a lot of trouble
listening
with that.
And feeling your intuition. Like, start with closing your eyes, sitting next to your husband or your friend or whoever, and say what messages they need to hear right now. And be like, I see apple. What's apple for you? Like something very minuscule that I'd be like, what could this possibly be? What does this mean for you? Like, the first thought that comes to my head when I really close my eyes, what am I thinking? Oh, I see a peanut butter sandwich, like something. Mm-hmm. And then you'll start to kind of understand your language with whatever you're connecting to, your spirit guides, if you believe in that or whatever, or your higher self. It just takes a time. I took 3 years of classes. So
become a Reiki master. That's so cool. Wow.
I've actually had a really cool experience where I was working on my friend's mother or godmother was getting open heart surgery. And she asked me while she was getting open heart surgery to do distance Reiki during the surgery. And so I woke up at 5 in the morning and just sat in a room and really projected my energy to her and sent her all this amazing, you know, try to bring myself to her. And I just put my energy with her and sent her healing thoughts, but in a really true meditative state. Now, I haven't seen this woman in for like 12 years. The moment she woke up from surgery, she looked at my friend and she goes, "Where's Kara? Was just here. Where is she?" She was just sitting over there.
Oh my gosh. I
got chills again. I was shocked when my friend told me that, because I was like, energy does not have to be in the same room. Does not have to be the same place. Energy does not have to be in the same place. It's just focusing your intention on something that is somebody or something and sending them the love energy or whatever you believe in. And she said she had seen, she saw, thought I was sitting right there on the couch the
whole
time. That is
awesome. I love that. That's amazing. That's so cool. Have you ever used this ability to like get back at an ex or like a person who wronged you? Because I would love to have this ability to be like, oh, you have messed with the wrong lady here. You know,
I definitely have meditated to a point where I would go to sleep and I would meditate and be like, you, I no longer want you in my life. You are dead to me. And I would go into a deep meditation. And then the next couple of days they would text me and be like, wait, where'd you go? Why are you like, would be freaking out because I just let them go. I didn't do anything mean, but I told them in my meditative, like, I don't want anything to do with you. You're done. And then sending that energy to them. As soon as you cut somebody out, do you notice they always come back some weird way?
Always come back. Yeah.
So my intention was to really let it go and not deal with it. And then he came back full force. So I don't know if that has anything to do with anything or if that was just, you know, the physics of breaking up with somebody. So
wild. Oh my gosh. Well, you are a better person than me. I might try to scare some people a little bit. I don't know.
Pop into their dreams.
Yeah. I feel like you meet a lot of scuzzy, yucky people in this business. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, I would like to like assert some power and dominance over them, because I just, like, I don't know. I just feel like everybody's so rude.
Everyone is rude. Everyone is rude. But yeah, I mean, it's like voodoo. It's like a different form of voodoo, which I don't know. That's terrifying to me.
Yeah. Probably why I don't have any abilities. Yeah. The higher powers were like, don't give it to her. She's too, like, she'll go crazy with it. But there is something really nice when you cut somebody off in a way that, like, you're really telling yourself, like, this is it. And then they really do panic.
It's like there is an energetic tie to them. There is some sort of, a rope. You cut the rope and they feel it because it rips back. It hits them. They're like, oh, wait a second. I need this person.
I need it. Yeah, absolutely. This was so fascinating. I love talking to you about all of this. Kara, where can people find you on the internet and plug whatever you would like to plug and talk about anything else that you want to?
You can find me at my Insta handle at Kara Miami, CaraMiame. And then I do some comedy with my singing comedy with my friend, called Pretty on Pitch. You can find us at Pretty on Pitch. And I'm also a massage therapist, Reiki healer. So you can DM me and I can do distance healing for you if you don't live in LA, but if you live in LA, I can also massage you.
That is amazing. Cool. Yeah. Well, you don't live far from me, so I may be hitting you up for a Reiki session sometime soon. Thank you for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts. It helps people find it. And as great, it also helps me survive another day in this hard world. If you want to throw me a follow, I'm at Emily MC Winter on Instagram and Twitter.